Hello again, David Creel, world's best double eagle coach, with my friend from the Northeast in the Baltimore area, Phil, who, let's see, used to work for the federal government in some shape or form, retired from the Army. Thank you for your service.
You're very welcome.
A Ziegler Legacy certified speaker, trainer, author, and is a Transformation Academy Master Life Coach. So you've got way more credentials than I do, Phil. So how are you today?
I am doing well. I feel exceedingly blessed. Thank you for having me on, David. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. So if it's all right, we'll just jump right in. So what would make this a life-changing conversation today?
I would like to be able to definitively get to the point where I have more margin in my life so that I can do more of the things I want to do.
What would you like to do with the margin once you create it?
Ideally, I'd like to just read. I'd like to read and study more. I really enjoy reading. I really enjoy learning things. But it seems like I overschedule my time sometimes, so that those things crowd out things I would rather be doing. And sometimes it seems as if the things I'm doing are space holders as opposed to actual productive time.
Do you have a written schedule?
Yes, I do. And my Ziegler planner is right here. And sometimes I think intellectually, I would like to get all of the things on the list, but realistically, I know I put too much on the list.
Who's in control of your list?
I'm in control of my list.
Okay. So, so why do you think that you overextend yourself and put too much stuff on your plate?
I recently retired relatively a short time ago, and I'm used to doing things. So even though I've been retired for almost a year and a half now, I still have this internal drive that I need to be doing something. I need to be, the time needs to be occupied. On the other hand, I'm not working full time anymore since I have my own company, and I'd like to devote more time to being with my wife and doing my leisure activities.
Do you know of anyone who works less and makes more?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
So I don't know how it is in Baltimore, but around Houston, people drive quickly. So I heard this from a Formula One world champion, former Formula One world champion. He said, if you ever watch a race, how you exit the corner is more important how you enter the corner. So when it looks like they're going super slow around the corner, they're not going super slow. Smooth is fast. So when it looks like they're barely moving, they're flying out of it. And what that former world champion said, when you enter a corner, like you've got so much stuff going on in your life and you're entering a corner, he said, you don't put your foot on the gas until you don't have to take it back off. So where in your life could you find 20 minutes here, 40 minutes here, an hour here, 2 hours here to schedule in what you'd like to do and make these where they're not negotiable?
Oh, well, I do that sometimes. I do that now with a couple of things. My morning devotional time is locked in. That is non-negotiable. I do that every morning at 4 a.m. Because I'm keeping my old former schedule from when I was actually working and I had to drive into work. So I'm keeping that schedule and I could do it at designated times. I think some of that time is spent on more or less time wasters, sort of scrolling through Facebook sometimes and doing other things that I know are not profitable, but they're easy to do.
Why do you think you do that?
Procrastination.
So what are you procrastinating on?
Some of my projects. They're good projects. And once I get started, I'm good to go. And that may be something else altogether, a fear of success. I know that the things I undertake, I usually succeed at. And it's a combination of, if I do those things, then that will get me more clients, more speaking gigs, and more teaching gigs, which will in turn take me away from the things I want to do with my wife. So I've got that dichotomy there.
Do you think you have a fear of success?
I think to some extent. I think to some extent, due to the fact that I think it will take away more time. However, as you do your coaching thing, that would just allow me to do the things that I think I'm supposed to be doing, and will eliminate all of the more of the time wasters. I would better utilize my time. I would better prioritize my time.
What are the two or three things you think you're supposed to be doing?
Oh, I think I'm supposed to be speaking. I think I'm supposed to be coaching more. And I think I'm supposed to be giving more presentations to charitable organizations such as my chapel, the church that I belong to, because that has I live close to Fort Meade, Maryland, and there's a large school there for the Defense Information School. And I go to the chapel and we actually have an outreach to those young students. So I teach them Ziegler life skills. I really enjoy teaching, coaching, and helping people.
So why aren't you doing more of that?
That is an excellent question. Part of it is it may just be lazy. Once I get started on a project, I'm very consistent. And I always have a lot of energy to begin with. Sometimes when I get into the midst of a project, the grind starts. Eventually I finish. I want to keep that energy up throughout whatever process I'm going through.
Okay, so when I hear the word you are a sergeant at some level in the Army, I wouldn't say that's lazy.
Well, that's true. I had to earn it.
Right. So maybe could it be that you're procrastinating because you're actually trying to get it perfect instead of just getting it out there?
That could definitely be it. I want to make it perfect. I want to do no mistakes whatsoever. Part of that comes from being a person of color, because we live in a society that places a premium on on some things over another in terms of race. So intrinsically, I always feel, and I was always taught, that you need to be right on point and you can't make mistakes.
Do you think that's true?
Oh, you mean about society?
No, I mean, like, do you think it's true what society says about it has to be perfect and on point, it can't have no mistakes? Do you think that's true?
I think as a Black man, I get less of an opportunity to make mistakes than a white man would.
Okay. Now, obviously, I don't have a frame of reference to this because obviously I'm a white guy. So I don't really have a frame of reference. But what I've been told, or what I've heard, is obviously, I may get this off, but it's gonna get the point across. Obviously, you've heard of Martin Luther King Jr., right? Obviously.
Correct.
I heard that when he did his, like, I Have a Dream speech at the Capitol, that wasn't the first time he did it.
No, it wasn't.
He did it 15 or 16 or 20 times before he got to that one point where, okay, I've got this thing honed in and now it's perfect.
Ooh, good point.
So Zig Ziglar said, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly until you learn how to do it better.
No, you're absolutely correct. That seems to be my aha moment.
So let me ask
you. So I need to give myself permission to not get it right the first time or the second time or the 20th time. But as long as I keep improving, then that is the definition of success. Moving toward a desired goal, however incrementally.
What do they call tiny steps? What if you took a 1-inch step every single day? What would you call that?
Progress.
Now you're not taking a yard and a half, a 3-foot step, but you're still going in the right direction.
Right.
Sometimes you've got to get it where it's good enough to go with, and then you can tweak it as you go.
Right.
Because why would you want to put all that pressure on yourself to have everything be perfect?
You're absolutely correct. And from other people's point of view, I'm from the outside looking in, as you say, I'm doing like, wow. But I guess I'm a lot harder on myself than I need to be, because I want to achieve that perfection level. And although intellectually I know everything you're saying, that's why coaches have coaches. Intellectually, I know everything you're saying, but viscerally, now when you said it, it makes a lot more sense. When someone else says it, it makes a lot more sense.
Exactly. It just moved from here to here.
Exactly.
You know, because when it gets down here, you know it to be the case.
Right. You've just given me permission to not be perfect. I've given myself permission to not be perfect.
Yeah, because what if you woke up, like, I've heard it said like this: Lord, today I haven't cussed anyone out. I haven't cheated anyone. I haven't lied. But here in a second, I'm going to roll out of bed. And after
that,
I'm going to need
right.
you.
Right. Right. Amen.
So what I'm encouraging you to do is give yourself some grace.
Right.
Because if you think about where you want to be, why don't you look back to see where you were 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 8 years ago, or 12 years ago, or 20 years ago, and see, oh my, I was way over there and now I'm here, but now I'm going this way.
Exactly. Very good. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So let me ask you this. What's the smallest possible step you can take to advance the speaking, training and the coaching aspect, the smallest possible step. Because remember, even the smallest step is called progress.
Right. Well, I completed the Ziegler Speakers Institute. And as a matter of fact, I'm doing a preliminary speech to some individuals regarding my life story that is a precursor to my longer keynote, which I've already done. And I'll be doing that on Friday to some individuals that are involved in my life story. So I will get a real world readout from those individuals.
Okay. So what's the smallest step you can take that's not already that before Friday? Like, what's the smallest step you can take today?
Well, I've recorded my presentation and I've been listening to my presentation. I also have the printed version of the presentation. So I just want to go over the presentation until I am familiar enough with it and comfortable enough with it to deliver it with sincerity without making it sound rehearsed.
Okay, so what's the smallest possible step you can make to take to make that happen?
Just practice today.
Perfect. Okay, so would you like a hint? Or a tip.
Go ahead. Yes.
That's what I used to do. I used to be in Toastmasters back in the day. And what I did was when I was in the lab, I was on night sometimes and we'd be slow. And when I had a speech to give at Toastmasters, I would get my voice memo out on my phone and hit record and give my speech like I was giving it to the audience, but there was no one there. But that way I got timing. I got how long it actually took to give the talk. Because if you have a 20-minute talk, you don't want to go 35 minutes. That'll give you how long the speech is and you can hear it. But then it's also, whenever you give up to give it, it's not the first time you've given it out loud.
Right.
You've done the reps beforehand. Before the lights come on, you've done the reps.
Right. And so, I've done that.
Okay, perfect. So let me leave you with one more thing. So back on the perfection thing.
Right.
If I told you you were going to get 3 out of 10, what would you say?
I'd say I need to do better than that.
What if you were a baseball player?
If you're a baseball player, that's a 300. That's a good average.
That's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
And they get a first ballot, no questions asked Hall of Famer in baseball gets out 7 times out of 10.
Correct.
And they're the best that's ever done it.
Right.
So maybe you don't, maybe you don't have to bat 1,000. Maybe 300 will do.
Sometimes good enough is good enough.
Sometimes good enough's good enough. That's a good way to end it.
Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, thanks, David. I do appreciate it. Thank you. I really do.
We'll speak soon.
All right. Take care.